Good morning, everybody. We are in Galatians 5. We're going to be looking at verses 13 to 26. And there, I just found the remote. Okay. So you can open up your Bibles there. We've been looking in God's Word, Galatians, for quite a while now. And we've been looking at the life of Paul. We've seen something in the book of Galatians and really in the life of Paul over and over again. And that is that you can be saved, you can be justified before God in heaven by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you admit that you're a sinner and you ask Him for forgiveness based on what Jesus did for you, the perfect work that He did everything needed for your salvation. If you believe and you admit to God and ask Him to forgive you, you can truly be forgiven. You can be justified before God 100%. You can be totally forgiven. You're a child of God, and you have a future in heaven. That's an amazing thing, an amazing gift that God offers us. It has nothing to do with your works. Your works cannot earn it. It is all Jesus Christ. It's simply a decision that you make to admit that you're a sinner and to ask for forgiveness. And it's all up to Him. What a wonderful gift that is, that we can be saved and that we can be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is completely Him, and it's not our works. But now the question is, in Galatians, once you're saved, once you've accepted this, what now? What do we do now with our lives? Do we focus on the law and go, okay, I'm saved now. I really want to get into God's law and really try to do that. Let's try to do that. Well, we saw last week that's not going to work. If you're completely relying on Jesus Christ for your salvation, are you going to take over now and clean up your life on your own? That doesn't really make sense. You couldn't save yourself in the first place. How are you going to change your life around? We need to go right back to God again. So we're going to focus. This passage definitely tells us exactly how to live the Christian life. It's very important. So I'm glad to share it with you today. And we're going to look at what does God expect in our Christian life? What should we be doing? And you know what we're going to find? Once again, just like salvation, I think it's all Him. And I think we just need to turn to Him. And the more we do that every single day of our lives, every minute we turn to God for everything, that's really going to be, that's our salvation, and that's really living the Christian life as well. So here we go, verse 13. So Tim already prayed, amen to that, and we sing a great song that we might come back to here in just a minute. And verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." So a lot of stuff in these verses here. You were called to freedom. So God called you, the Galatian church. Many of them new believers, new to the whole God thing. They lived in a pagan society and all sorts of strange things. They weren't really sure what to do now. Paul's saying you are called to freedom, but do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Well, you know, the Galatians might have thought, we can't do any works to save ourselves, right? It's completely the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did an amazing work, a wonderful work. And He does cover every single sin. And we are truly justified before God. What a gift that is. And if we don't go back to the law now, well, what do we do? I guess, do we just go on and keep sinning? Is that okay? I mean, Jesus covered all the sins, right? Is it okay to just keep sinning? Well, that is definitely, if you are a student of the Bible, you know that the answer to that is a very strong no. May it never be. We do not go on sinning. That is not the Christian attitude. Well, can we just push it a little? You know, a little sin here and there doesn't hurt, right? Christ covered it all. Well, absolutely not. We do not turn our freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. And we're going to see the word flesh is going to appear 7 times in this passage. And we're going to see, we have to understand what it's talking about here if we're going to understand the battle in the Christian life and what's going on in us. So what is the flesh? The Greek word here is sarx, and it actually literally means your physical body, your physical skin and bones. That is your flesh right there. In this context, it's talking about more our old sin nature, the sin nature that we inherited from Adam, the desire in us to do wrong, to sin, which apart from Christ, apart from being forgiven by Christ, that's what we do all the time. That is what we do. Even good thoughts and things that you want to do that are good, apart from Christ, they're really not. It's just sin. And so the flesh is that part of us, the old sin nature, that's there and is wanting us to sin. The desire is against godly stuff. It's to sin. It's to do things that are against God. So don't turn your freedom, your newfound freedom, into an opportunity to say, hey, I can do whatever I want. So I'm gonna do things. I might do something pleasing to God. I might do something not. It's okay, right? Well, that is definitely not the Christian attitude there. But what's the opposite of that? What are we supposed to do? What do we replace this sinful nature with? But through love, serve one another. Love. And then we see, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love really is the key thing in the Christian life, isn't it? Jesus said this also. If you want to fulfill the entire law, love one another. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sounds like a song, right? You guys just sang that. That's the number one thing in our lives. Love God. Now, what's the number two thing? Love everybody else. Love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Well, look around you. Those are your neighbors right there. The people around you every day, that's your neighbors. Love God, love your neighbors, and guess what? You just fulfilled the whole law. So if you want to go to the law, Galatians, or you Judaizers that are trying to get them to follow the law and say that's what a Christian does, well, guess what? Love God, love everybody else, and you will fulfill the whole law. An amazing thing. Jesus reiterated that, and this is actually a quote from the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. That's not a new thought in the New Testament, which I kind of have thought before. It's in the Old Testament there, too. It's always been love. Love has been the main thing. So, what's the opposite of giving an opportunity for the flesh? Well, here it says, through love, serve one another. The word serve there, the Greek word for it, is the same word. It's a similar word that we get the word slavery from. Or servant, servant or slavery. When you see the word like bondservant or slave in the New Testament, it's the word doulos or doulos, and it's right there. Through love, serve one another. Isn't that interesting that it says you were called to freedom? This is a verse about freedom, isn't it? And how do you become truly free? By being a slave to one another. Through love. Be a slave to one another, and that is freedom right there. Is that an interesting thing? You know, as I was studying this, the thought kept coming up, the question, what is true freedom? What really is freedom? What is it? And we need to keep moving on in the passage here, but I wanted to spend more time studying that, but it brought a lot of thoughts to mind. Were Adam and Eve free in the garden? Will we be free in heaven? Are we free right now? Is a non-Christian free? What is freedom? It's actually a tough question. An interesting question. The person that says, I'm completely free to do anything, you know, and probably a definition of freedom would be to be able to do whatever you want. Well, let's say I'm free. I'm totally free, so I'm going to go do some drugs. I'm free to do that, right? Well, it's not long before you become a slave to drugs, right? And are you free? Do you have freedom? Let's say I'm free to do something else, free to, gamble, and then I become a slave to that. Free to go do this, to go drinking, to do whatever, you know, fill in the blank. Well, your freedom turns right into slavery, doesn't it, pretty quick. What is true freedom? What is good freedom? Maybe that's the question we should be asking. Anyway, so... here we see Paul recommends, and it's God's word, so God recommends, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Become slaves to each other, and you will be free. And that's our true freedom right there. Did God do that? Did God make himself a slave to us? Well, what did Jesus do? He came to earth, and in a way, he became a servant to all of us, right? He said he came to be a servant, and he did the ultimate act of service, slavery. He died for us. And wow, was that freedom? Interesting. So, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, love. If you get nothing else from this message today, if you only get one word out of the message today, love. Love. Go do that and you will be fulfilling the Christian life, fulfilling the law, and you'll be pleasing to God. Love. Do that every day, all day long. Love. True love. Verse 15 said, but if you bite and devour one another, take care you're not consumed by one another. That's some pretty strong words. Bite and devour. It kind of sounds like an animal eating another animal, killing it and biting it, devouring it, just nastiness flying all over the place and consuming it. And that's the Galatian church, if you keep doing apparently what they were doing. Apparently there were some arguments. It's going to be mentioned a couple times here. There, and that can get real ugly, can't it? We need to not be doing that. You know, if you spend all your time loving each other and serving each other, is that going to lead to biting and devouring and consuming each other? Probably not. You're probably going to fill your time with loving and serving, and that's just going to go better for everybody, isn't it, if we're doing that? All right. Let's move on here. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what should we do? We're Christians now. We turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do? Well, here is the key. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And notice the Spirit here is a capital S. I looked up lots of different versions. They all agree. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. This is not talking about your spirit. This is talking about God himself. God, the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit inside of you. When you become saved, when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive you, and he comes into your life, how does he apply that salvation to your life? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. God himself comes into your life. He seals you until that day you get to go be with him. He's sanctifying you, setting you apart, and that's really what we're talking about today. He does a lot of things in our life. He gives us gifts, and he makes us able to actually say no to sin. He makes us be able to fight against the sinful nature and against the flesh. So you wanna get sin out of your life, everybody? You wanna truly live this Christian life and be a good person? How do you do it? It's interesting. It doesn't say try really hard, really work at it, and maybe you can start, you yourself can start fighting off the sin. It says walk by the Spirit. You got to turn to the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's where the power is. That's what the thing that can overcome sin in your life. That can tell you what's right and wrong. That can be the thing that can lead you to leading the Christian life. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I am going to walk from this spot to the back of the room. Everybody watch carefully. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm walking. When you walk, what do? You put one foot in front of the other, right? You decide where you're going to go. Did you see that I decided I was going that way? In your life, you got to decide where you're going to go. God put it up to us. But you got to walk. I'm going somewhere, aren't I? I'm turning around and I'm walking back up to the front. I love this illustration, walk by the Spirit. When you're walking, you're doing something. Every day of your life, you make decisions, don't you? Hundreds, probably thousands of them every single day. What decisions are you making? Are they good? Are they bad? Maybe you don't even know. Well, turn to the Holy Spirit of God. God, help me. What do I do today? Please help me walk in the right direction. What steps should I take today? And you turn to Him. Is God going to answer that prayer? I think He does. I think He can answer that. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Tap into that power. God, I can't do it today. I don't even know what to do today. Help me take that first step. And He can tell you what direction to go. And He can tell you each step. Talk to Him all day long. Spend your whole day with Him. Read the Bible. Read His Word and see what He has to say to you. And then follow what it says. Walk by the Spirit. And there's a promise here. Do you see the promise? If you walk by the Spirit, you're truly walking by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Wow, that's a pretty big promise, isn't it? How many of us here would like to not carry out the desires of the flesh? Well, I know the answer to that. If you're a Christian, the Spirit is in you, and the Spirit doesn't want you carrying out the desire of the flesh. There is something in you that doesn't want to carry out the desire of the flesh. There is something in you. If you're a Christian, if you're truly saved, there is something in you that wants to do right, that wants to do good. And so, how do we do that? We walk by the Spirit. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. When you become a Christian, we don't just immediately become perfect, do we? There's still a battle. What's the nature of that battle? And I know for years I've been trying to figure out the nature of that. I think many theologians have spent most of their life trying to figure out that. Paul himself, did Paul ever really figure out this whole thing? What is the nature of that battle going on? You know, you read Romans 7 and it kind of sounds like he was still stumped. But I will say this, he was troubled that there was that sinful nature in him, really troubled. If you're okay with that sinful nature in you, then you don't get it. I don't think you really understand. But if you're really troubled and you really don't want it there and you hate it and you really want it to go away, then maybe you're on the right track there. Because it seems like that's kind of what Paul thought as well. It's a battle. It's tough. And as Christians, we should want to honor God and not carry out the desires of the flesh. But sometimes we do. And it's a real battle going on inside of us. But what's the nature of the battle? We're told here, it's the flesh, and that would be that sinful nature. And some theologians would call it the sinful nature you have right now. Some might say it's the old sinful nature that you're digging up and being like again. Either way, it's the sinful nature that we're struggling with, and it's there. And you know, as a Christian, it's still there. And there's desires to do that sin, and it's against God. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. So what's the number one thing your flesh wants to do? And when I say flesh, I'm not just talking about your body. It's the sin nature. What does it want to do? Well, anything against God, according to this verse, against the Holy Spirit. And what does the Spirit want to do? Well, anything against the flesh. They both desire. There are desires there, and they're battling it out. As I've been thinking about that, it's interesting. It's kind of a little different than I've often thought about this. I've often thought it's my Spirit and God together working against the sinful nature. What does it sound like in verse 17 there? It sounds like it's God against my sinful nature, and they're battling it out. Isn't God more powerful than my sinful nature? Shouldn't He win every time? Apparently, there's this battle inside of me and inside of you, but apparently you are in charge of the battle. You're in charge of what happens. Are you letting God have the victory every day? Are you walking by the Spirit? Apparently, we can choose for the Holy Spirit to be winning in our life each day, each step that we take every day. Or we can be choosing to let the flesh have its way. And maybe we go back and forth. It seems like that's what it's saying here. But God is inside of us. And that's a huge thing. That's, if there's some big thing I really learned in this study here, the Holy Spirit of God, what a gift that is. Because without the Holy Spirit, do we have any chance of overcoming this sin? Absolutely none. I mean, even with the Spirit inside of us, do we still struggle a bit? We do. I know I do sometimes. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no chance. But through God, through Jesus Christ, we're saved and we're justified through the Holy Spirit. We have the power in us to say no to sin, to fight against that desire of the flesh, to do what's against God. These are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. And there it is right there. There's something in us that does want to do good. We desire to do good. In fact, if you're a Christian, at times when you make really good decisions and you know you're doing something honoring to God, does it not just really feel good? It really does. I know there's been times I've just been like, man, this is great. I'm doing what God wants me to. I'm where God wants me to be. And that's a great feeling. That's a great thing. And sometimes not so much. But we want to do things that please God, but there's a battle going on. And how do we win the battle? Well, the wording here is walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. That's the key to the Christian life. So love and walk by the Spirit. And they probably go hand in hand, those two things. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, do we need the law to help us out to know what's right and wrong? You know, the law can only go so far. The Spirit can go much further than the law. The Spirit can truly convict our heart, soul, and mind. The Spirit, and this is God. This is God inside of you. It's very personal. The law is not personal. The law can tell you what's right and wrong. The Spirit can truly convict deep from your heart and your soul. The Spirit can change you. The Spirit has power to help you win over sin, and the law cannot do that. Verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and he's going to give a list here, and I'll go through this list, but remember the Galatian church, they might have been confused. They were living among pagans, a society that did all sorts of horrible things. I guess maybe that's a lot like ours, too. But they weren't sure what was right and wrong. It was confusing. So he's going to give them a list. Here's some deeds of the flesh, and then he's going to show some deeds of the Holy Spirit. So the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those first three words all have to do with sexual sins, sexual immorality. This is huge. In their day and age, it would have been a huge thing. People would go and actually worship things doing sexual immorality. This sexual immorality covers all sorts of things, all sorts of problems. Outside of marriage between a man and a woman, and sexual immorality, all sorts of things that you can imagine about that, this would include that. Impurity would take all of that and add on even the thoughts in your head and the words that come out of your mouth. Impurity is all the sexual sins plus even thinking about them. Does the Holy Spirit know what you're thinking? What thoughts are going through your head? Yes, it does. So immorality, impurity, sensuality is taking all those sins and just being completely free and open with them, practicing them, doing them, and encouraging others to do them as well with no restraint. The next words, idolatry and sorcery, those might be considered religious deeds of the flesh. Idolatry, putting something else before God, bowing down to something else. Maybe you're thinking, I haven't carved any idols and I don't bow down to them. But idols can take lots of forms, can't they? They can be in the shape of a car, in the shape of a house, in the shape of money, in the shape of power, and all sorts of things. There's lots of things that can take over our lives and take God off of his throne. And anytime you put something else on that throne, that's idolatry. That's a deed of the flesh. Sorcery would have to do with witchcraft, things having to do with demons, perhaps talking to the dead and things like that. And the word for sorcery, the Greek word, is interesting. It's actually the word that we get pharmacy from, pharmaceutical. And the sorcery here is often combined with drugs. And the sorcerers were probably many times just people that would give people drugs. And once you were high, then you could consult with different gods and things like that. So sorcery, witchcraft type things, and drugs as well would be included in that one also. The next eight of them that are mentioned all have to do with relationships with each other. Now remember, we're told to love. Through love, serve one another and love one another, and that fulfills the law. Well, these things would be the opposite of that. Enmities, that's hatred of people. In our sinful nature, we tend to hate people, don't we? There's hatred there. Maybe we hide it a lot and we don't like to say it a lot, but there's hate there. And we have something in us that can hate. We need to watch out for that. Enmities, strife is kind of has to do with more fighting, probably comes from that hatred. Jealousy, which is even a further something of that, focusing on certain people and really hating and despising those people. Outbursts of anger. And that also would be an outcome of these other things, of hatred and focusing on that hatred and the strife between people and certain people and certain things. And outbursts of anger. These are deeds of the flesh. Disputes and dissensions. People arguing, more arguments. You know, when you've got a lot of hatred, when you're thinking all these things and these bad thoughts and you're angry, it's going to lead to disputes, isn't it, of some sort. Dissensions, you're going to have problems with other people. That's going to lead to factions there, groups. We're going to get our groups. Kind of I get my group of everyone that agrees with me, and you get your group, and then we fight it out, right? That's factions. Envying, seeing other people and being jealous of what they have. Envying that person, that can really turn to rough things, terrible things, when you envy other people. It's hard when I see all these words here, it's hard not to think of our society. Is envying something in our society that's a big thing? Well, it actually is a big money maker, isn't it? People want you to spend money so you can be like other people, because you would be happy if you had all the things they had. And so spend your money. And go do this or that. And they're actually making money off of the deeds of the flesh. Drunkenness and carousing. So drinking and all the things that go along with that. And the carousing would be being drunk in groups and doing wild, all sorts of crazy, terrible sins with groups. Carousing. And it says things like these. This is not an exhaustive list. Although it's a very big list, it's not an exhaustive list. We could probably come up with more, couldn't we? But these are a little sample of deeds of the flesh. And it says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here's a little check. Paul's saying, okay, check your life. If this describes you right here and you're practicing, that means you're doing these things over and over again and you're thinking it's all right. Well, don't think that you're someone that's part of the kingdom of God. You need to go back and realize you're a sinner and you need to get saved. He warned them before and he's warning them again. If you're practicing these things, if these are a regular part of your life and you're okay with it, that's not the Christian life. You got to realize there's something wrong there. Turn to Jesus Christ. Ask him for forgiveness. We've already spent, 4.5 chapters discussing that. You can turn to Christ and be forgiven. And then put these things behind you. What should be in our life? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is... And I wonder, is there any kid out there that could tell me what the fruit of the Spirit is without looking? I see a hand up right here. Can you say it in the microphone?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gratefulness, and gentleness and self-control.
Give him a hand, everybody. That was great. There you go. If you're not sure what should be in your life, come ask Thomas. He will tell you right there. Love, true love, like God's love. Love that goes beyond any conditions. You simply love other people. Fill your whole life with love, and you'll be doing really well. You could just stop at that one right there, couldn't you? That's what it said earlier. But there's other things. If the Spirit is truly taking over in your life, and that should be the goal of a Christian, is that the Spirit of God is having His way every single day, every step that I take. joy should be in your life as well. And peace, joy, this is the kind of joy and peace that even goes through the hard times. Even when, have you ever seen Christians go through really hard times and it's sad, but you can see a joy there that just goes beyond any explanation of this world? There's no psychology that can explain it other than God himself is inside of that person. That's a great joy. What a wonderful joy that is to have. And peace. God can give peace in the midst of terrible storms. He can truly give a God-given peace. You know those first three things, love, joy, and peace. Who wouldn't want to have that in their life? Right? I mean, is this not what the world wants right here? Love, joy, and peace. The whole idea that becoming a Christian means you don't get to have fun anymore. Your life is going to be terrible now and you just have to live by certain rules. That's just such a lie of the devil, isn't it? Who doesn't want love, joy, and peace in their life? I think everyone in this world would like to have those things. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. Let him take over your whole life. And it says here in the Bible, the fruit of that will be love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, and goodness. Patience, maybe that's something in our day and age we really need to work on. Do you ever sit and hold your phone and you push the button and you have to wait like 2 or 3 seconds before it does something? That's terrible, isn't it? 5 seconds, maybe. My computer wasn't working the other day at school and I had to wait a good maybe 6 or 7 seconds when I clicked the button. Unbelievable, right? You ever sit in front of the microwave, go, hurry, come on, hurry. We need patience. In this day and age more than ever. But God can give it. The Holy Spirit can help us with patience. And really, I was just talking about patience with machinery. It's patience with people probably is the main thing that we need. Does God know anything about patience with working with people? He works with us, doesn't he? He knows all about it. He can give that patience to you. Kindness, you're just kind. God was kind. God is kind. You should be kind too. If he's working his way out in your life. There's just people that are really kind, and you should be one of them. Goodness, God is good, and there should be good things coming out of your life, just plain good. And you know what? I think most humans do know what's good, and we know when good things are coming out of someone's life. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You do what you say you're going to do. You follow through on that. You're faithful. Gentleness, you're not going crazy. We don't have those outbursts of anger, but you're gentle. And you know, God, the King of the world, he's huge and powerful, yet he's so gentle, too. That's an amazing thing, and we can be like that, be gentle. And we have self-control. We're not just going crazy doing whatever our bodies feel like. We have self-control. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If these things are in a person's life, that's showing the person's life has the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. Just like we look at the fruit on a tree, if you see an orange on a tree, it probably is an orange tree. If you see grapes on a bush, it's probably a grapevine, right? I was looking around our house and I wanted to bring a branch with something on it, but this time of year that doesn't work so well. I couldn't find a single thing, so I didn't bring anything. But when it's time for fruit, you know by looking at the fruit what kind of tree or bush that's coming from. Against such things, there's no law. If you're worried about following God's law, well, follow the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit, and surely you'll be following the law. You'll be going much further than the law, too. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Interesting verse, can be taken a couple different ways. Once again, I am going to mention the Greek word here. Now, I don't want you guys thinking I'm an expert on Greek. I just got this from commentaries, okay? But it is important here. In Greek, the verbs, they can be written in a certain way that we know what they mean. This one's written about something that happened in the past one time, not a continual thing. So this must be talking about a one-time thing, must be talking about when you got saved, the moment of your salvation. In some way, the flesh was crucified. Your sin nature was crucified, and with its passions and desires. And at that moment we got saved, we get eternal life. We get life, and how is that applied to us? Through the Holy Spirit. If we live by the Holy Spirit, if that's true in our lives, if we've crucified the flesh, then how should we live our lives every day? Well, we should be walking by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Somehow God put it in our hands. He lets us make decisions every day. What decisions are you going to make? Well, I say start your day on the right foot and just talk to God. Ask Him first thing in the morning, what do you want me to do? Help me to do what's right. And just keep talking to Him all day long. Try to stay in touch with Him. Try to take every step that you take walking by the Holy Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. You know, if all our work of salvation is completely 100% through Jesus Christ, work of sanctification, becoming holy, is completely the Holy Spirit in us, is there any room for boasting here? There just isn't. The only boasting is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an awesome God that has done an amazing work. He has saved us, and the gift of His Spirit inside of us is an amazing thing. We need to tap into that power. We need to walk by the Spirit every day. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank You that You saved us. We thank You that we're justified before You. Help us, Lord, as we battle the old sinful nature each day. Help us to just put You in charge of everything, Lord. Help us to walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh, Lord. Help us to know what that means. Help us to do that, to follow through on that, and help us to have the fruits of the Spirit in our lives each day too, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.